This Stu Lectures episode features founder and CEO of Shadow, Hunter Lee Soik, recorded live at the global event in Cardigan, West Wales in 2014.
Hello. All right, so everybody stand up. We got to get into it. Let's get the blood going. We're going to talk about sleep, but it's a very active conversation, okay? You guys ready? All right, let's go. If you did not sleep last night, sit down. If you slept 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours, 6 hours, 7 hours, 8 hours. Is anyone still standing? 9 hours? There you go. See me after. I have something special for you. Cool. All right. Raise your hands. And then put your hands down if you can, if you dreamt last night. Oh, sorry. I'm sorry. Put your hands up. Put your hands down if you did not dream last night. Okay. Put your hands down if you do not remember it. That's amazing. All right, Simi, I have something special for you. Okay, so here's how we're going to do this talk, because it's not my talk, it's your talk. It's very interactive. We're going to do a Q&A in the beginning. So I'm going to show you kind of where I've come from with the idea, and then I'll tell you where I'm going, and then I want you guys to ask any questions in between. So get your questions ready, and also if we can have some microphones standing by. And right after the video, we'll get into the questions. So if you guys are ready. Hello, my name is Hunter, and I want to thank you for checking out our page. We're proposing to create the largest dream database in the world, and we need your help. I've always been blown away by the concept of dreaming, the idea that for one third of our lives, our bodies are suspended and our unconscious minds are free from the limits of reality. Sadly, about 95% of all dreams fade away before you even leave the bed. Now imagine a world where we can create a space for dreams to self-organize and give us real information about our consciousness. You know, that voice in your head that lets you know you exist. We've created Shadow as a way to participate and accelerate evolution. We're gonna pick up where Freud and Jung left off and leverage the 50 plus years of innovation that's put rovers on Mars and supercomputers in our pockets. We will start with a mobile application that helps you remember and record your dreams. Shadow uses an escalated alarm to gradually pull you through your hypnopompic sleep state and is ready to record when you shut off the alarm. Now you can speak or text your dream into the application. If you do audio, we'll transcribe it into text and we'll pull out the keywords. From there, we'll push the dream to a big data cloud so we can anonymously organize the global data to identify major themes and trends. True comprehension comes when the dots are revealed and we see the big picture. Now the Japanese sleep the least, but do they dream the least? Or what do women in Moscow dream about? Or what do kids in Sao Paulo dream about? We feel this is a huge data set that's literally being forgotten every night. So here's where you come in. We've taken Shadow as far as we can on our own, and we need your help to explode it out of our heads and into the real world. You can donate to iOS, Android, or Windows, and when we reach our funding goal, whichever device has the most donations, we'll start building that one first. If we're successful with this project, we'll forever change the course of human history. And remember, it wasn't too long ago that the majority of the population thought the world was flat. So this idea is bigger than any one of us alone, and we need your help to pull the future forward and make Shadow possible. And I leave you with this final thought, and it's a quote from John Lennon. And what he says is, "A dream we dream alone is only a dream. A dream we dream together can be a reality." So thank you very much.
If, looking at it from another way, we push technology to its furthest possible development, and we had, instead of a dial telephone on one's desk, a more complex system of buttons, and one touch would give you anything you wanted.
Cool. Yeah, so we did the Kickstarter in September. We're the fastest funded open software iOS application in the history of Kickstarter, and we raised the second most amount of money for open software iOS applications in 2013. So that was exciting. We hit our funding goal in 150 hours. We had 135 press articles cover us, and it exploded. And it's all because of everyone in the idea. So if anyone has a question, we can start there. If anyone has a question about the question, I'm just going to try and get as many as possible, and then we'll start going into it. So someone kick it off. Go ahead.
From a scientific perspective, why do we dream? Are there any evolutionary reasons that explain our dreaming?
Sure, I think this project is very special because we all have still not answered that question. There's huge debate whether dreaming and sleeping is the consolidation from short-term memory to long-term memory. And then there's another idea that dreaming is prophetic and we can see out into the future and we can see all these things. So I think what makes this project special is that nobody knows, and we really want to kind of understand the data, surface this invisible data, to then see like, whoa, there's actually something here. There's some data that we can point to. So, go ahead.
Okay, so my name is Karis. Hey. I actually suffer from serious night terrors.
Okay.
So would I be able, and also I dream in Welsh a lot of the time.
Okay.
So would the app work for me in terms of
Absolutely.
Being able to speak in Welsh and also do something about, I within 30 minutes of sleeping, I actually scream my head off. So if anyone heard screaming in the campsite last night, that was me. I apologize, by the way.
Okay, so to answer the first part of your question, we're available for translation in 80 languages because we're using Nuance, which is the same thing that Apple uses. So as Nuance gets better, the translations get better. So it's really up to Nuance at that point. Even if you don't do the speech-to-text translation, you still have the audio file there. And if it's just for you, then you know what does that audio file sound like 1 week, 1 month, 1 year, 10 years later? I think it's just this interesting part of our lives that are just being forgotten. And what happens when we can actually go back and reference that? I think in addition to having dreams, what does it mean to then be able to say, last night I had a dream or a night terror, here's the other times that I had it, and here's 150 people around the world that had that same thing. We want to create community around people that have certain things and have an open conversation about these things. So maybe there's some tips or techniques, or maybe you just find comfort in other people who are having the same thing. So thank you for your question. Go ahead, Mark.
Are you able to correlate the dreams that you have with maybe things that you've done or even eaten or the experiences you've had in the day? Are you able to diary both of those things?
Yeah, so we're starting with dreams, but we really want to move quickly into what's called quantified self. So quantified self, for people who don't know, is the computational power of all things in all devices. And quantified self for us is three levels: technology, psychology, and biology. And technology is this wearable market, Fitbit, Jawbone, Nike Fuel, all these things that are just quantifying and tracking things that we're doing. The psychology part is the layer that we want to be on top of, saying like, if all these things are coming in, how do I feel about it? Like, what is the human layer on top of the quantified self movement? We actually want to evolve quantified self into what we call understood self. How does us as humans process this data or have a dashboard for yourself? And then the biology part is, you know, the transhumanists say if you can live for the next 30 years, you can live forever. Nanotechnology, biotechnology, genetics merge, and you take a pill and fix yourself from the inside out. Now, nobody's there, and we're not either, but we believe that if we can start having these conversations now, maybe in 5, 10, 15 years, maybe we're there. So, hope that answered your question.
Yeah, cool. Thank you.
Good. Go ahead.
Do you think...
What's your name?
Sorry? Alexei.
Hey, Alexei.
Do you think being more conscious about your dreams might have some kind of danger?
I guess it all depends, and I guess the real question is we won't know until we do it, right? So fire is a tool that can cook your food and it can burn you. So, you know, I think for us it's about stewardship and not ownership. We don't want to own the stream database. We just want to create a tool for everyone. So think of us more as like a Wikipedia for dreams, with the idea that, you know, we just want to start creating community around what people are dreaming about. And I guess segue to your comment, there's a book called Thinking Fast and Slow. And this book talks about two systems of the mind, the fast mind, which is your subconscious mind, and the slow mind, which is your conscious mind. So the idea of the fast mind is if I throw a ball at your head, you're not going to think about it, you're just going to move, right? You're just processed to do that. So we believe that dreams are in this subconscious space, and we believe that if there's kind of interesting information down there and we can pull it up to the top, maybe there's ways that we can just look or hold up a mirror to ourselves in a way. So. What's your
it's
name?
It's Nick.
Hey, Nick.
Hand, yeah.
How
so
are you?
I was thinking about the Roald Dahl book, BFG.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so in that film, there's kind of either good dreams or bad dreams. I think that's right. And so, do you know yet whether there are more good dreams than bad dreams?
So I'll answer that in two parts. So the evidence right now suggests there's more bad dreams than good dreams. And the reason why, the hypothesis is that when we were cavemen, we dreamt to future-proof our life, meaning we had dreams about jaguars attacking us because in real life, if they really did attack us, then we would die. So in our dreams, we would essentially be future-proofing that so we would get ready to know what we were doing if that would happen in real life. Now that we don't have jaguars or imminent attacks or deaths, like I think we're still future-proofing our lives. That's why, you know, when you have that last dream, it's usually you're in present time, maybe you're in your childhood home, and maybe you're thinking about something that you have to do tomorrow. I think you're just going through that. It could be viewed as more negative, but I think you're just kind of making sure that when you actually do it in real life, it's gonna be awesome. As far as good dreams, I have really good dreams. I do have negative dreams as well, but I don't view them as negative dreams. I view them as something that I need to kind of address in my waking world. And I don't mean to sound so esoteric, like between sleeping and waking, but for me it's just, you know, there's certain symbolism that I've understood for myself, and it's different for everyone. And I think once you tap onto that, and once you can start to really go down deep and look at that, it's fascinating. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Rachel. I work with people with dementia, and I'm just wondering, do you have any evidence that people with dementia dream?
That's a great question, and I think, you know, this whole platform is, you know, something that could really never happen until right now. So, you know, the supercomputer in your pocket or the cell phone in your pocket is a million times cheaper, a million times smaller, 1,000 times more powerful than the first supercomputer at MIT. We have LTE, 3G, and Bluetooth that are just streaming electrifying data down to these devices. And then we have big server and big data capability on the server side that's just crunching these numbers. So I think right now we're in this perfect storm for an app like this to happen. I think there's revolutions. We had an industrial revolution, then you put good ideas on top of it. I think we're going through a technological revolution where all the systems are being built. Now how do we put very interesting ideas on top of that? So to directly answer your question, we don't know. And it's something that we'd like to study. And I think because all this is coming out now, then, you know, how deep can we get with it? How serious will the audience take it? In tangential to your question, we have a very serious team of PhDs. We have about 10 on the team, everywhere from Harvard, MIT, and Stanford. We have the evolutionary psychologist at Harvard Medical School. We're doing integrated sleep medicine at the University of Arizona. Because when we build a dream app, it can come across very, very dreamy. And we want to make sure that we're rooted in science and we have all those scientists and all those big brains behind us to really start to push this forward so it's a real thing and not just a consumer application. But it's fun and entertaining. So go ahead. And please say your name so everyone else knows who you are.
Hello.
And we can all talk about this after too.
I'm Martin.
Hey, Martin.
How much data have you got?
So we're early days. So there's about 100. So this is interesting. I sent out 100 alpha tests 2 weeks ago, and we have 200 signups. So we're converting at 200%, which is crazy. Usually apps convert at about 3%, maybe 4%. So we have a virality rate that's just going crazy. Out of those 200 people, we have about 400 dreams. So everyone, on average, has recorded about 2 dreams. And then the interesting thing is the majority of those dreams are private. So 75% of those are private, which is awesome. Like that means people are really thinking about the application, using it, and saying like, okay, I have this dream. Maybe I don't want to share it, but at least I recorded it. And then we can, over time, start to help you look at the short and long-term dream patterns that you have. So to answer your question in a different way, we put up a website right after our Kickstarter. We had about 50,000 organic signups in 4 weeks. And, you know, we're just getting excited about, you know, getting this to more and more people. And, you know, if we keep our virality rate, then 50,000 sends to 2 people, sends to 1.5, we'll be at 300,000 pretty quickly. So we'll launch our application. We were going to do it sometime in September, but now that iOS 8 just kind of released, we want to make sure that we're kind of tangential to that release, because there's a lot of cool features that we think would enhance the application. Go ahead.
Hi there, my name's Nick.
Hey, Nick.
I feel I need to just declare myself, because
I find it really depressing when someone says to me, I've got a dream, and I know they're going to tell me all about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I kind of feel awkward sitting here saying that. Is that because I'm terribly selfish or because they're terribly selfish? Because I would never tell anyone my dream because I don't want to waste their time.
Yeah, so I'm with you, and I think this app can solve a lot of that, because instead of saying, like, I have to tell you my dream, I can tell it to this application, I can get real data back to myself, and then you can find people that actually want to hear that dream. So the way that we want to match it is, like, you know, you have your personal dreams, and we want to say, hey, listen, here's another dream that was really similar to your dream, like, do you want to read it? So we want to do connections that way, so it's not just like, hey, I had a dream about a giraffe last night, isn't that cool? So, you know, again, like the Wikipedia thing, like, we want people to be able to deep dive into these things and just ask better questions to themselves. And, you know, maybe talking about dreams is more interesting than talking about the weather. I don't know. So, thank you for your question.
Yeah, hi.
Hey.
I'm Eamon.
Hey, Eamon.
Once you've got your data,
yeah,
what steps will you take to make sure it's not exploited?
Yep.
So, no disrespect, but yeah, advertising companies would love to know what. So, when you're Facebooking,
something
related to your dream comes up, and you think, I must buy that. How do you protect the people who've given you that data from
that
happening?
Absolutely. So, data privacy and data security is going to be the biggest trend in the future. In consumer apps right now, they're just already too big. They can't go and reverse the system. So the way that we're thinking about data is we're doing 2048, which is 2048 SSL encryption, which is the highest encryption rate from the client, which is your iPhone, to the server. So when your dream actually goes to the server, it's encrypted. So anyone gets it, they have to decrypt it, which would take a lot of time. And then while it's on the server, at the REST level, we want to encrypt all this stuff. We're also creating a server that's HIPAA compliant. That means that data is HIPAA, based on the protocols of the U.S. government. So, I think you know, it's not that we want the data. We want the sentiment of the data to then give back to everyone, right? So, if you had a dream last night, and so this person, like, what does that mean, and what is the global dream mood or theme, or, you know, sentiment of last night? Like, as I said, you know, in the video, like, what do people in Tokyo dream about, and can we see correlations and trends in there? You know, we're not really interested in advertising-based revenue. I think when you look at advertising-based revenue, especially with, like, these big companies, it's really for that. It's just to serve you ads. And I think, you know, I think if we can create something that's more interesting, or a new revenue model based on health and wellness, or other things, we don't need advertising-based revenue. I just think it's like an old, kind of archaic thing. And, you know, our goal is really, you know, in 10 years from now, can people look back and say, like, what was the dream mood in 2014, 2015, 2020, 2050? So we're really trying to create a repository for future generations. And then if we do advertising-based revenue, I think it'll just crush pretty quickly. So thanks for your question.
I think I asked you this last night. Do you see a really obvious correlation between dreams as ambitions and dreams as random thoughts? Like, whereas I have a dream to go and be a race car driver, or I'm flying.
Yeah, I guess I can answer that two ways. We don't have the data, so we don't know. In my personal life, I have had dreams that so two parts of that. When I started recording my dreams, probably about a year ago, I wasn't good at it, but over time I just got better and better and better. And I think it's like this. So if you buy a new car and you're driving that car down the street, all of a sudden you start to recognize all the other cars that are the same as your car. I don't know why that is. Maybe it's some pattern recognition or something. So for me personally, when I started thinking about recording my dreams and actually doing it, it became easier. And as it became easier, I became more lucid. So, like, I would say every 1 in 10 dreams I can have a lucid dream. And for people who don't know what lucid dreaming is, it means that you're conscious while sleeping. And I'll give you the brief science behind this. So here's your prefrontal cortex, this part of the brain, right here is called your dorsolateral prefrontal cortex. What this does is manage your day. So everyone knows that we're in this room. After my talk, we're going to see another talk. After that, we're going to have lunch. After that, we're going to do something else. So while you're sleeping, this dorsolateral prefrontal cortex is shut down. And that's why in your dreams, you're like going through things, and then all of a sudden, you're here, and all of a sudden, you're there, and all of a sudden, you're there. So if you can awaken that dorsolateral prefrontal cortex while you're sleeping, then you can start to schedule out things. And there's actually a really great study done by Ursula Voss, who's doing TMS, transmagnetic stimulation, where she's doing low frequency and actually getting that to kind of wake up while you're sleeping and induce lucid dreaming, which is very fascinating. It just came out maybe 2 weeks ago. So.
Hi.
Hey.
I'm Carrie.
Hey, Carrie.
I have a two-parter. So okay. The first is, you said that 75% of the dreams that people are reporting are private. So what are you going to do about anonymization of dreams? It seems like an obvious thing to do. And then the second part is, you know, a la the BreatheSync app, are you building in means by which people can actually record the dreams or record some data about them while they're actually sleeping instead of having to do it after the fact when you wake up, when presumably you start to forget a lot of things?
Yeah, so I'll answer the second one first and I'll come back to the first one. We would like to create a dream API, right? So this API allows people to plug in the things that they're interested in. So if you walk 10,000 steps, do you fall asleep faster? Do you record more positive dreams? If you eat chicken after 9 p.m., are you dreaming about flying? Is everybody dreaming about flying if they eat chicken after 9 p.m.? We don't know, and those are some really interesting questions that we want to answer. You know, again, if you walk 10,000 steps, if other people walk 10,000 steps, are they also falling asleep faster? Are they also recording more positive dreams? If we're all breathing and breathing right, like, what does that mean? And I think, you know, there's this... these patterns that are what we're calling invisible data, because the technology is allowing them to become visible now. What happens when we start connecting all these things together, and what can we learn about ourselves, right? Back to your first question about 75% of the dreams are private. So yes, they are private, and we don't see them, we don't touch them. You know, I think what we would like to do in the future is, as that private dream goes up, we just want to pull out the information, not any of the personal information, but just like the keywords and this kind of stuff, and then we can start building, you know, the database off keywords. So right now, if you say, I had a dream about, you know, a farm and a spaceship and a dog, then, you know, those keywords are there. If you press on dog, then it'll say dreams about dogs. If you press on dogs in Cardiff, like dreams about dogs in Cardiff. So on and so on and so forth. We'll build a filtering system while we when we have more data to say, like, show me all the dreams of you know, males in Los Angeles between 18 and 25 who are dreaming about the beach. So as we get more sophisticated data, we'll build out those filtering systems.
Hi, Ander.
Hey, how you doing?
I had a question about, do we dream also during the day? Like,
absolutely.
Open eye, and then you're looking something, but you're dreaming, actually?
Absolutely, I'm doing it right now.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, I'm not a expert on this, but I think, you know, your mind just wanders, and your mind just kind of always is searching for what could be, what could be, what could be, and I think that's an interesting place to be. And I think, you know, just to allow and to have that freedom where your mind is clear and be able to kind of start manifesting stuff in real time, I think that's great. So. Again, like, you know, this technology is new, and we're excited to explore it.
Brilliant.
Cool.
Thank you.
All right, thank you, guys.
The Do Lectures is here to share stories of remarkable people in the hope they will inspire you to go and do amazing things too. There are over 300 talks to listen to, or if you prefer, watch on our website, thedolectures.com. Hit the subscribe button on your favorite podcast platform to get the latest episodes when they come out.